Well, ladies and gentlemen, in Radioland, that means it's time for the Garden Conversation. Turning. We have in the station.
Good morning.
Mardell Gunn, Rebecca Brewer, and my saddle pal JoJo here.
Good morning.
And we love having you out there in Radioland. Ladies, what do you have for us in the garden department?
We are talking fall gardening, but before we get into the meat of what we're talking about, into the veggie of what we're talking about, I can officially announce this now, is that we are going to have a garden conference here this winter. We're on schedule. It's February 16th through the 18th, that's President's Day weekend, so hold that weekend open. And Jeff Lowenfels from Anchorage is coming.
Nice. King of Microbes.
He's the one who's written the book Teeming with Microbes. Mm-hmm. Actually, he's written three books.
Oh, nice.
And he is very knowledgeable, and he's also really a fun person. And so you will learn a lot as well as
That's
have
wonderful.
Fun. Yeah.
That's
so
exciting.
So, yeah, it's exciting. Yeah. And if now is the time, we'd love to have people who have an interest come and help us. Come and tell us what you think we should have for sessions and whatnot. So meeting again today at 3 o'clock at the library. So if you are interested, please come and give your input. So enough on that. So Rebecca, what are you doing in your garden or out of your garden at this point?
Well, right now I'm avoiding harvesting a lot of things. I'm keeping them in the ground as long as possible because that's their ideal place to be stored. And I grow things for year-round use. And so I try to keep my potatoes and carrots in the ground as long as possible.
Mm-hmm. Because when you bring them out, then you've got to find the best ideal situation
exactly.
for them. Yeah.
So since we really haven't had any cold weather yet, I'm putting a lot of things off. But I am slowly harvesting potatoes because they need to cure.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you cure them?
I have them out in my back room, which is like my root cellar room. And I just lay them out so they're not touching each other. And what happens is they slowly dry, and that outer skin, it's actually a clear skin on the outermost layer, and that dries down. And you want that to just dry, and that's a protective layer.
Do you wash yours?
I don't wash
you
mine.
You don't? Mm-hmm.
But I have in the past, too, just sprayed them off
briefly. Yeah, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. And then everything's cleaner. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that that's a problem. Have you?
I haven't either, no. I also leave mine in the ground as long as possible, but let me say that the difference between you and me in our discussing of how we store things is that I have a pretty ideal situation, in that I have a root cellar that is very consistent in temperature. I can kind of regulate the humidity, so I don't have to work quite as hard in keeping them. And so let's preface our whole conversation with that, because that's one of the reasons why we do things pretty differently in how we store them.
Mardell's space is colder and moister.
It
and more
stays
ideal.
At about 38 degrees.
Constant.
And I dump water on the floor to get humidity and that sort of thing. So, and that's a plug for if you want ease of storage, it's nice to be able to throw things in a root cellar instead of what you do is you...
So mine's an above ground room in the back of my house that just naturally does not the heat doesn't flow back there, so we just blocked it off, and it stays it fluctuates more between 32 and 40. So I have more fluctuation, and it's drier back there. So sometimes I run a humidifier, but mostly I store things in plastic containers or boxes with layers of damp sawdust. My potatoes just go into crates, but things like carrots and beets.
You don't put your potatoes in any medium or anything.
No,
okay.
They just hang out in a box. Mm-hmm. But carrots and beets go in those layers of damp sawdust. And what that does is help create that cooler, moister environment that's more ideal, and they really keep well in that situation. And it's not that much extra labor, but lucky Mardell, she just chucks them in a box and walks away.
One thing about potatoes that that I think we've talked about this in times past, but I think it's good to mention it again. Don't harvest your potatoes and lay them out in the sun.
Right.
Because you will end up with green potatoes, which means that I just learned this last night by looking this up. I always thought that the green stuff is what you didn't want to eat. Well, that's not true. The green stuff is simply chlorophyll, which happens because it's in the sun. Mm. But you know that if you have set up a situation so that the chlorophyll can develop in the potato, it means that you've set up a situation that the solanine, mm-hmm. which is the toxin that develops, mm-hmm. is likely or possible to be there. Mm-hmm. So it's not the green stuff that you're worried about, but it's the stuff that develops that you can't see or taste.
The solanine.
It's right. probably not going to kill you, but mm-hmm. it definitely, some people are more sensitive, and it definitely creates right. indigestion and all mm-hmm. that kind of
stuff. That's a general
stuff.
Rule of potatoes. They're little trolls. They like to be cold and dark
they
and
do.
Never see the sun, and that's
yep.
why we hill them over
yep.
and or put them with, you know, straw or seaweed, anything on top, so those potatoes that are forming on top are never exposed to the sun, and we cure them in a dark
in
room.
A dark place, yeah.
Cool and dark, cool yeah. and dark. That's the mantra.
Yeah, and if yep. and if you do get some green, you don't have to throw away the whole potato, if unless the whole potato is green, but you can cut off that part. But mm-hmm. but yeah, I'm going to remember little trolls when I'm right. when I'm harvesting my potatoes. I'm going to remember Rebecca's right. words of these are little trolls.
Another thing about potatoes is they tend to collect diseases, and this is mm-hmm. one thing we wanted mm-hmm. to cover was this is the time of year we pull things out of the ground and. What we've been talking about is ways to cover your soil, mm-hmm. Why that's important. One thing we do not keep in the garden, though, is our potato plants, because potatoes tend to collect diseases, and we don't want those to accumulate in the soil. So I pull the plants out, and I don't lay them back on the soil.
Right. I don't potato plants either. In general,
yeah.
I pull most things out of the soil. Mm-hmm. Some of it is a personal preference, I think. Some people like to do that in the spring. I guess my words of advice is not to leave things that have the potential of disease
right.
in your soil, like
you
potatoes.
Your brassicas, too,
My
right?
brassicas. I pull all of my brassicas, yeah. which, of course, is a large part of my garden. Mm-hmm. I pull those all out because I feel mm-hmm. like one of the things that happens in brassicas is that diseases hide in the roots. Mm-hmm. And you sometimes don't even know that you have a disease until mm-hmm. you pull it out. So I pull all of mine out, and I actually don't put my root systems of my brassicas in my compost. I
yeah.
cut that off.
It's a good idea.
Throw that into mm-hmm. the forest and put the rest of my mm-hmm. plants into my compost.
Both Mardell and I both have strange diseases that have formed in our brassicas. So
yeah.
we're both kind of religiously like, okay, but the disease are definitely in the roots,
mm-hmm.
and you can see them. I do like take cabbage leaves, though,
yeah.
And put them back on the soil. I take carrot tops, beet greens I'm not eating. Leaves, seaweed.
Lettuce, you know,
lettuce,
the,
yeah.
the extra lettuce that
uh-huh.
goes to seed or leaves or whatnot. I throw
yeah.
those back on.
Put it right back on the top and let mm-hmm. it just sort of degrade back into the spot where it grew to give back whatever.
Right. Organic matter is a good thing to have in the soil, and so it can.
Right. And that's what nature does, too, is, mm-hmm. is keeps its soil covered. And that's what keeps the microbes and the mycorrhizae happy. And that's part of soil structure and just keeping everything protected. We get so much rain, everything, mm-hmm. you know, the soil is just getting hammered. And if you think about what nature does, it always keeps
its
soil.
It.
It covers it.
Yeah,
yep.
it does. Yeah. So I kind of, the last few years, I have gone to not doing it necessarily the natural way, but a bunch of my beds, I actually take plastic and mm-hmm. I cover my beds. And it's worked really nice because then in the spring, they're not quite so waterlogged.
Right.
And I think for the long term, it's good because the nutrition mm-hmm. gets, nitrogen particularly, is
right.
the one thing that gets leached out by our rain.
Yep, I did that in Cordova, which has mm-hmm. like 150 inches of rain, and it did make a big difference mm-hmm. in my beds because I was trying to put so many nutrients in. And it's also going to give you a jump in the spring.
Yeah,
which,
that's
and
right.
Mardell lives out the road, and she's trying to, you know, she does amazing yep. things with spinach in April mm-hmm. out the road. And that's partly due
of
to plastic coverage.
Having plastic coverage because
right.
it collects the mm-hmm. heat a little bit.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So multiple advantages
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah, there is. So, yeah. So what about, so we talked about carrots. Cabbages. Mm-hmm. What do you do with cabbages?
Well, what I do is I pull them up whole. I leave the root on. And I tie a nice piece of P-cord around the stem there. And I have nails up in my back room, which I was saying is, you know, between mm-hmm. 32 and 40 ideally. So I'm leaving them in the ground as long as possible. And I grow a variety that's for that. So for red storage cabbage. So the one I like is we eat more purple cabbage. So I grow Ruby Perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And I leave them in the ground as long as possible. I just noticed a few are starting to crack, so I'm mm-hmm. probably going to pull a couple this weekend.
Yep.
And then put that nice strong P cord on there, and they hang up on a nail in the rafter there. And that's where they stay, and they'll stay that way quite a long time.
So no cover around them at all?
No cover at all. Uh-huh. They just hang. They just hang, and then I eat them as we go. And then if it looks like they're not going to make it as long as I hoped, then I make them into sauerkraut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's interested in fermented foods, super healthy for you, traditional way of having good food all winter long, recommend book by Sandor Katz, mm-hmm. Wild Fermentation.
Yeah, he's kind of the guru mm-hmm. of right. And I do that mm-hmm. with a lot of my cabbage, mm-hmm. and you can throw almost anything into fermented vegetables, so if you mm-hmm. find that you've got extra whatever that you don't really know what to do with, beets, mm-hmm. Cabbage, carrots, onions, yep. you name it, anything can mm-hmm. go in, except I don't really like kale and collards and that kind of stuff. That mm-hmm. stuff kind of gets strong by my taste uh-huh. In fermented vegetables. But so I do a fair amount of mm-hmm. fermented vegetables right now. Mm-hmm. But my cabbages, I do different, mm-hmm. again, because I've got a really good, cool place. What works for me is I wrap them all in newspaper, multiple layers of newspaper, mm-hmm. and I find that that keeps them the best mm-hmm. so that they don't dry out, and that just works right. really well.
And you're cutting them off right under the head.
Right under the head. I cut them off. Yep, that's right. And so that's kind of what I do with my cabbage. And also, I think it's important to point out that you said that you've got a keeper cabbage that you grow.
Yep.
I grow several different kinds, and the cabbage that I use for my fermented vegetables are the ones that are not keepers, because they definitely don't keep as long as mm-hmm. I grow storage cabbage as well. So that's good to know.
I'm going to say a word about fermented vegetables. Mm-hmm. It's something my wife Nancy does, mm-hmm. and we've done it over the last couple years. And it's fabulous. Mm-hmm. It is a fabulous and very important, I think, microbiotic addition to your diet. Mm-hmm. And I won't to say more than that. But I want to also ask if you mind folks calling you. They got the edge of something. They need a little more information. Mm-hmm. Can they just get on the phone and call Rebecca Brewer and Mardell Gunn? Would that be okay?
They can, but also we also have KHNS, garden at KHNS.org, which is a means of asking questions and making comments. We definitely have had comments, and that's been really helpful to do. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead, Rebecca.
Do you want to talk onions real quick?
Yeah,
because
let's talk onions.
Because such a challenge.
Yeah.
Just in this climate, we have such a wet fall, and getting onions to cure and hold can be a challenge. So definitely choose varieties that have a small neck,
mm-hmm.
and because you need that neck to dry down. And I like Highlander and Copra. Highlander stores about 6 months. Copra stores about 12 months. So I grow those two with that in mind, and they both have those thinner necks. This year, you know, super cool, rainy, and I had to pull them sooner than I had hoped.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
And I cut the greens off to like a 2-inch, because they had turned into this horrible slime.
Oh.
And mm-hmm. I cut them off, brought them in, I put them on these old window racks, and put a fan on them. And this is in the upstairs of my house where it's nice and dry. And that fan is really helping, and those necks are drying down beautifully
mm-hmm.
to where you squish them with your finger, and there's nothing squishy in there at all. It's completely
dry.
Then you know they're cured. They can go into a mesh bag and hang in your, you know, a room that's like 50 mm-hmm. degrees and dry. So that was my learning curve this year, just because it was so ultra cold and wet this fall.
It was a tough, mm-hmm. tough year, which is not an issue for me, because what I have learned to do with my onions, again, this is the difference in how you like to deal with your stuff in the fall,
mm-hmm.
is, I put a vast majority of my onions in my freezer. And they're all cut up, and I take them out of my freezer. And
he's overachieving.
I'm basically lazy in the winter. Love going into my freezer and pulling my onions. You don't have to peel it. You don't have to cut it. You don't have to cry.
Ready to go.
It's all ready to go. And so that also alleviates the problem of indeed getting them cured. So what I do is I actually save the ones that are cured really properly.
Right.
But the ones that aren't cured, or the ones that go to seed, if you have an onion that goes to seed,
right,
don't even think about keeping it.
It's one to eat right away.
Yeah, eat it right away. It's mm-hmm. not gonna keep.
Yep.
And so pull those out and put them in a different place. So,
Nice. And what about leeks, Mardell? I know you do the similar thing with leeks.
I process yours, don't you? I do. I make mine into a leek puree, because mm-hmm. that's what I use most of my leeks for, a soup. And so that's how I deal with them. But I have also done what you do, is I stuff them in a bucket.
I know, it's a really great thing. I like to just do the least amount of processing as possible, whereas Mardell likes to have things ready to go in the winter. So what I do is I have a bucket, I put a couple inches of soil in the bottom, I pull the leeks out whole, and I shove them vertically into the bucket, and I cram them in there as many as possible. Sometimes I can get, depending on the size of the leak, maybe 30 leeks into a bucket.
And you have soil in the bottom?
Yep, soil. And then sometimes I pack some damp sawdust in there. And that extends the length of the blanched section of the leek. And then they just live in that bucket, and they will literally stay reasonably
good. The roots are actually drying up moisture.
They are drying up moisture, and they literally live and stay alive in that bucket until March, until they start getting a little bit dry. But they're a remarkable plant.
The outside of them gets to be a little bit dry, but definitely they work.
Let me ask you a question about what you know, kind of as a connoisseur of different grades and degrees of sawdust. When you say sawdust, you know, because we have mill leavings here,
and
we
have
what comes off a table saw, or a planer shavings. What are we talking about? What's ideal in your mind for packing away things
like,
in a root cellar?
I like what comes out of a circular saw mill, not a wood miser. A wood miser is truly dusty. It's you don't really want dust. You want the stuff that's
a little more chip,
a little more curl.
So like up at Tony Malone's mill
I usually go there. He's usually fine with it, but it's good to call him first. But yeah, something a little more texture is better.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks, Rebecca.
We're out of time. Yeah,
we're out of time again. Yes, we didn't talk about Brussels sprouts. But
you want to squeeze it in?
Okay. Brussels sprouts. I'm a big advocate of Brussels sprouts. They're a wonderful thing for this time of year. And you can actually do the same thing as what Rebecca does with cabbages. Pull them out of the ground and hang them, and they will keep for several months just that way.
That
or you can do what
I
do and put them in the freezer, but both ways. So, all right, thanks, Burrow.
Yeah, thank
perfect,
you.
Ladies. Thank you
all
so
right,
much.
You,
there's
lady.
So much great information out there, and you guys are coming at it every week with a new perspective.
And you can come and get a whole bunch in February when we have our conference.